Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Swing and a line drive, base hit right field.
Do you believe it, Howie Kendrick? Part two.
The celebration is on. The Washington Nationals are the world champions.
Hello and welcome into another edition of the Nationals Talk Podcast. This podcast right now is simply a distraction from all that's going on that you're dealing with 24/7. We are a baseball podcast first and foremost. Today we're going to focus on Nationals GM Mike Rizzo's conference call with the media. Before we do get to that, do want to mention a tip of the cap to the Major League Baseball owners who contributed to a fund to take care of the stadium workers who normally would be working at the ballpark starting right about now, and the minor leaguers, at least for now, are being taken care of just like the Major League players are. A lot more to go with that, but so far a good start in that department. Also, friend of the podcast and Nationals reliever Sean Doolittle made a sizable donation to the Capital Area Food Bank. As for the conference call, Todd, you were on it. Give me the top line thing that Mike Rizzo had to say today.
Yeah, the number one thing was, what is the health status of everyone in the organization? Obviously, that's what everyone's been wondering about. And Mike Rizzo said that no Nationals players are showing symptoms, so they haven't been tested. And as we know, whether professional athletes get tested ahead of quote unquote regular people has become one of the topics during this situation. And in this case, he said no one's being tested because they seemingly don't need to be at the moment. He has a weekly conference call with Major League Baseball and the CDC. He is still in West Palm Beach, as is Davey Martinez, several staff members, medical people, workout people, and 13 other players. And three players are in Washington, D.C., and the rest are scattered around at their various houses. They all have workout protocols, whether they are pitcher or position player, and they are all doing daily check-ins with the medical folks to try to make sure everyone stays as healthy as possible. So those were the number one things from about 30 minutes on the phone with Mike Rizzo earlier today.
If you are a listener to this podcast, you know we like to play you as much real audio as there is. Bear with us. It was a little hard to record the conference call today, so just understand that. Apologies there. But one of the things, Todd, that he said was, you know, there's no manual for this for a general manager. And it just hit me, like, there have been GMs for over 100 years, and obviously the job has changed, the technology has changed, their approach has changed, the money has changed, everything. But there truly is no blueprint for a guy like Mike Rizzo or Davey Martinez, or to further run up the chain, ownership and the commissioner.
Yeah, and so what they have to do is plan their initial approach and then come up with like 8,000 contingency plans, right? Because as it stands, the earliest the season can start is mid-May. A lot of timelines about what's going on with everyone's health, spread of the virus, suggests that that would be a very challenging date to meet. And so they need to figure out, if we are going to keep working out until point X, and then the season is going to start at point Y, and we need to ramp up for the season, like, how does that all look? And what they usually do is they tag opening day and then work backward. So, you know, they find out this day would have been March 26th, rapidly approaching next week, and they back up all of their programs from there, date and time-wise and output-wise. And so they're going to do that. They just don't know what the new opening day is. And so that's challenging, obviously, but this is also a business where you have to have multiple contingency plans. We've talked about it a million times about how they have a 1, 3, and 5 year plan when it comes to personnel and roster. So this is what these guys are paid for, right? To sit down, figure out big problems, find the best solutions, and run the organization accordingly.
Was it asked on the conference call if any of the players have left the United States?
Some of the complications with this, Tim, not just specific to the major league players who are from other countries. Those guys are staying in the United States, but it's also like the Dominican Academy players and the Venezuelan Academy players. And it's a complicated thing. And I think from the Nationals perspective, they think in a lot of cases, keeping kind of the group under eye or, you know, under observation, if you will, and keeping them at the academy or around there is beneficial to them. So here's what Mike Rizzo said about that specifically. We have our Dominican Academy players to go to a safe place outside of the academy. If they have a safe haven to go to, that would be safer than being, again, in a larger group of people. We have sent them home for the most part. There's certain people at the academy and here in the U.S. that's unrealistic to go to their homes. Venezuelan players that were in minor league camp, they're still here in West Palm. We got them put up in a hotel here because it just didn't work to send them to Venezuela. We have a handful of players in the Dominican Academy that are staying in the academy because they're from other parts of the world that are less safe than in our academy atmosphere. So like we were just talking about, everything is contingency. Everything is step by step. Everything is kind of person, location, situation specific.
One other thing, and then we're going to lighten it up even more in a second. But, you know, as of right now, and I don't want to speculate on the virus. I'm speculating just in terms of baseball here, so everyone's clear. Let's just pretend that on May 11th, we wake up and we're good to go, okay? How much time do you think we would need between life resuming as normal on May 11th to whatever opening day would be when you mentioned earlier pitchers having to get their arms ramped up?
Yeah, I think it would be a couple weeks minimum, 2 to 3 weeks, I would say. You know, about half of spring training. Because they were into it. Theoretically now, there's a maintenance of where they were, if not some advancement going on. It's not a perfect solution because they're working on their own. And, you know, at West Palm Beach, for the guys who are in West Palm, they're not mandated to do any specific workout, but they have availability to do what they want to do, if that makes sense. Like, they're not doing a group thing, but everyone has kind of an individual protocol to follow depending on where they were. One of the things that's most interesting about this to me, specific to the Nationals, is if anyone could use a break or a delay, it was this pitching staff. And now they have it probably and will end up having almost too much, perhaps. They all have a break. So all of this stuff about what are they going to do to get their pitchers ready, and, you know, are Max Scherzer, Steven Strasburg, Patrick Corbin going to be exhausted from what they had to do in October, and Sean Doolittle and Daniel Hudson, how are those guys? And don't forget that Will Harris was again in the postseason. He's been in the postseason often in recent years. And Max Scherzer just had another, you know, his side was sore. You remember that? Because he had changed to fight the back and neck problems. So
feels like a long time ago, but yes, I do remember that.
Yeah, forever ago. But so rest for these guys is a good thing. Obviously, no one wanted it to come about this way. And when they do get restarted, they should be in a good spot.
Anything just pure baseball, business as normal come up? Any bullpen type questions, any personnel type questions that came out of today?
No, it's interesting you say that. I mean, there was so much other stuff to talk about. I was kind of regretting a little bit about not asking about Hunter Strickland or the 40-man, that which now has an open spot, stuff like that. There were just all this other stuff just superseded it. He was asked about making trades, and he said that he hasn't talked to anyone about trades and doesn't know kind of how that's being thought about around the league. But specific to them, they haven't done anything like that, although they did do some transactional things like Hunter Strickland and moving some other guys to minor league camp and that sort of stuff. So they're in a wait and see, try to maintain, try to stay safe, try to stay positive pattern, just like everybody else.
With less than a week now until what was supposed to be opening day, of course, what's the one little thing that you miss about being at the ballpark every day during a time like this? Not the major stuff, the obvious stuff, but like, what's the one just sort of little thing that's part of your day-to-day in the world of baseball that you are missing right now?
Well, it's kind of like two things, adrenaline and rhythm. So when there's a 7-game homestand, and for me, I'm going up 295 every day and dropping off an exit and into the park, and you walk in and you see security people, you know, and it's a nice day and everybody, the people are already in the bullpen doing work. When you're walking in, I walk in there about 3 o'clock for a 7 o'clock start generally. And you see all the other beat people upstairs and the food workers, you know, and all these people, right? And then the stadium is filled with 25, 30, 35,000 or more people. And there's action and the discussion, right? And there's all that rhythm and the noise of a sports event, which becomes your normal office setting. And then you're doing that every day. And you're kind of, and you get into this mode, and every day you go back in and you get to kind of taste that over again. And there's a subconscious feeling to it. And there's a, like I said, a rhythm to it, and there's a motivation to it, and different things happen. And it's just lacking that environmental push is a weird thing. Like I don't go in the office much at all. And we were just coming off of the off season and in this place in West Palm Beach where we all had our trips booked to go back if we left, or, and we're just a couple of weeks out from the season and we kind of knew how things are going to play out. And then it's off to New York and that's all settled. And everything was lined up for that kind of adrenaline and rhythm and everything to kick in. And then it stopped and you're back to the kind of this off season mode, even more so than ever before, obviously with the logical health restrictions going on. So I would say those are the things that I miss. Everybody gets ready to go and launch, and then there was no launch. And that's a weird feeling.
Yeah, mine right now for the little stuff, and obviously there's a million things that I'm going to miss, but it's the smells. And whatever team you root for, whatever ballpark you go to most often, you know the smells. There's a certain hot dog smell. There's a certain popcorn smell. Some bad odors. There's anytime you walk down the third baseline, you walk down this past this certain stand, maybe this area smells like alcohol more than others. There's a barbecue spot. The cacophony of smells that remind you that you're at a baseball stadium about to watch a Major League Baseball game, that to me is really what I'm missing right now.
I'll also add the soft ice cream machine in the press box.
Yeah, well, certainly on that. But like, yeah, even where we sit in the press box, like there's just certain smells that tell you you're here for the day to watch Major League Baseball. And certainly not going to take those for granted when we get back at it, whenever this thing ends. All right, going to close out here with something to try and put a smile on your face through these difficult circumstances we're all going through here. The other day, we played for you portions of our Game 2 podcast after the Nats won in Dodger Stadium to even up that series at 1-1. Well, this time, we're going to play for you a highlight montage from the ninth inning on September 3rd, the day after Labor Day last year at Nationals Park, as the Nats staged that historic comeback on the New York Mets, capped off by the Kurt Suzuki homer, the 11-10 victory. 12 runs in total were scored between the two teams in the ninth inning alone, in a game that, ironically enough, was started by Max Scherzer and Jacob deGrom. Enjoy one of the more memorable wins in Nats regular season history. Something to put a smile on your face. Stay safe, everyone. Have a great weekend, best you can. And we'll be back with you next week for more coverage on the Nationals Talk Podcast.
Hudson delivers, swing, and a long drive to left center field. Going, going, and gone goodbye. Into the Brewhouse red seats, a blast by Pete Alonso. And a two-run shot here at the top of the ninth inning makes this a big, big five-run inning for New York. And it's now the Mets 10 and the Nationals 4. Here's the 1-2. Swing and a belt to right center field toward the gap. Conforto on the run. Can't get this one. Speeding around second. Heading for third is Robles. Bobby Henley will wave him home. Turner will turn and stop at second as Robles scores standing. And it's now the Mets 10 and the Nationals 5. Soto heading to the on-deck circle pitch. Swing and a base hit through the hole into left field. Turner scores from third. Cabrera jogs to second. Anthony Rendon with his 112th RBI. It's now the Mets 10, the Nationals 6. And Mickey Callaway's coming out. He wants the left-hander Avilan to face Soto. 0-1, the count, the pitch. Swung on. Into the air to deep right center field. Conforto going back, way back. Dives, can't get it. Off the wall and in play. Cabrera scores. Behind him, coming home is Rendon. He scores. Home to third is Soto. Into second with a pinch hit. Two-run double is the Z-Man. with a tying runs in scoring position. And still only one out and Kurt Suzuki coming up. It's the Mets 10 and the Nationals 8. Here's the set. 3-2 Suzuki. Swung on. Hit deep to left field. Way back. Go!